Kids are welcome to head to Kids Church. And then for y'all who are staying, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And we're kind of in the middle of this chapter. It's interesting, he's going to start this morning with finally, and he's already said finally once, and so he's going to say finally again. And we know things are wrapping up, but he has some just really, really good practical truths for us. And this morning, just really, really good practical things that are so important in our lives. We're going to talk about how we think and how we live, okay? If you've ever built a house or had a house built, you know, good home plans, good blueprints are so important, right? And two aspects of those are important for building a good house, right? You need good plans, right? And you can have blueprints and they're bad blueprints. You know, a door opens into a wall. It's not going to be very good, right? And so good, thought out, well-planned blueprints, right? But then you have to have those blueprints borne out into real life, right? Someone to put those into practice, right? You can have the most amazing blueprints for a house, and if you never build the house, blueprints aren't going to keep the rain out, right? They're not going to keep you warm at night. So the idea is, like, it's so important to plan out and have really organized good thoughts, and then you have to put those thoughts into practice. And Paul's going to talk about that this morning, just the idea we need to fill our minds with good things. He's going to start with dwelling on the right things. And so this morning I called the message, dwell on these things. He's going to list eight virtues, eight things, like filters for our minds. He's going to, like, think about these things, dwell on these things. But then it just doesn't stop with our minds. He's going to say, hey, put these things into practice. These things you've learned, like, don't just dwell on them. You need to put them into practice, right? Where the rubber hits the road. Like, do the things that you know you should be doing. And before we even move on to that this morning, like, just think about your life this week. Maybe, like, life got derailed a little bit. Just think about the Christian life. We're in this process of growing in Christ, trying to honor Christ with our lives. And I apologize for the screens. We've been trying to figure these things out, and we had a solution, and we thought it was working, and then this morning, got derailed. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help the screens to work and give us grace and give us patience and focus to focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we'll focus, and if a verse comes up, write it down, and it might not stay up for long, but let's just try to focus on God's word. And maybe, like, this week, like, life got derailed. Or just in your pursuit of righteousness, like, your just train came off the tracks, right? Because you can have this wonderful train going down the tracks, right? And it can get derailed and this huge explosion, right? And maybe your life was like that. Or just you felt things haven't been right. And I think two big things that get into our lives, and really when there's this big train wreck, usually it comes down to little thoughts that came in that weren't run through these filters. And those little thoughts turn into bigger thoughts, and we start dwelling on them, and they start turning into bigger and bigger things, and we keep dwelling, and then they work out into wrong practices. Okay, and so maybe if you look to where you've gotten derailed from your pursuit of holiness, maybe it's wrong thinking, or maybe it's wrong behavior. Usually it's one of those two things, and maybe with wrong behavior, it started off with just a little bit of, oh, this isn't that bad what I'm doing. And then it turns into a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think what I've found, and I don't know if this is true for you, even those wrong behaviors, it seems like, and that's what we see here this morning, Paul's going to start with thinking, because I think what happens, and this is what happens with me, I don't know about you, but I start thinking the wrong way, and then it's always going to, if I dwell on it and I keep allowing those wrong thoughts to get bigger and bigger and still keep on thinking more and more of them, it works its way out into my practice, right? And I've seen this, like, if I could say, where is the battlefield for the Christian life? It's in the mind. The mind, I believe, is the great battlefield for how we're going to live, how we're going to practice out. We do it with what we really believe. And you can have all the right thoughts and all the right beliefs, but if you don't dwell on them and start dwelling on lies, start dwelling on things that are impure, we're going to go down this list, you start dwelling on the wrong things, they're going to turn into wrong behavior. And so just looking back at your week or your month or this year, I know we were fresh into 2026, but maybe you feel like you've been derailed. Where has it started? I mean, what is the little thought that went off and it started turning into a bigger thought and you started dwelling on it? And so I kind of think about these eight things. I love this. These are filters for our minds, okay? I think about like a home filter, like, you know, your air filter in your house. It's really good because you open that in like 3 months and it's filtered out a lot of bad air, right? Like if you never change your filter, like all that bad air is coming in. And I think of like these eight things as really good godly filters. And when I'm thinking like, should I think about this? Should I dwell on this? I need to run it through these filters. And if it doesn't pass any of these filters, I need to get rid of it. Okay, I need to filter it out. And so I want you to be thinking this week, if something just comes in your mind, like that's natural, okay? Like sometimes thoughts come in and I'm like, where did that come from? That's okay, but what are you going to do with it? Am I going to filter it through this filter or am I going to just let it stay there? And so as we walk through these, think of them as filters, okay? I think about it like this. Would you drink water, unfiltered water, from a swampy bog? You know, this like frog is like, if you can see that, this frog is like hopping around it. Would you just dip your glass in that water and just take a big swig of that, right? Who here would do that? Okay, Kevin just came from overseas, you know. He's like, no, not even him. We have one hand. Like, no, we're not stupid. Like, there's so much sickness, so much disease. Like, you're going to get sick if you just drink this completely unfiltered water. None of us would do it. Even if you didn't get sick, it's just disgusting. Now, think about it like this. If you would do that with what you drink, why wouldn't we do it with what we think? Like the things that we put into our mind are so much more important than what we put in our mouths, but we don't think about it that way. Like we filter our water, but we allow our thoughts unfiltered. We allow things to come in and they're gonna shape what we do, how we live, like the trajectory of our life, and we just open up the floodgates. And so this week I want you to think, if I'm going to dwell on something, I need to make sure it's true. I need to make sure it's honorable. I need to make sure it's just. I need to make sure it's pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. If it's not, I need to filter it out. I need to get rid of it, and I need to replace it with something that is, that meets these tests. And so let's just go down the list. And I love how he starts with the first one. Just look at the passage this morning. He says, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Like these are filters for the mind. And it's so important that he starts out with whatever is true. Because I know for myself, and maybe you know for yourself, we start dwelling on a lie, and we start believing that lie, and it's going to change so much about what we think about and what we do. Just like a couple examples, and this word true means like factual, honest, what is in correspondence with reality. But I found so many times when I start thinking about, start dwelling on something that just isn't true, it starts getting me thinking about other things, and I allow those in, and those aren't true. You know, every, like, field that's filled with weeds, it all started with a few little seeds, right? Those few little seeds took over that field because they were allowed to stay, they weren't removed, and they were fed, and they were watered. Have you been feeding and watering lies this past week? Paul says, hey, guys, start with what is true. And every time something comes into my mind, I need to ask that question, is this true? And not just like, is it true? Like, is it true, true? Because a lot of times we allow things in that are like half true or three-fourths true or filled with a lot of truth, but a little bit of lie. I think about it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Like, this is a strategy of Satan. What did he do there? He got started with a questioning of the truth. Did God really say? Did God really say? Start to question the truth. Eve didn't know the full truth, right? She misquoted the truth. And so if we don't know the truth, then that allows the questioning of the truth to come in, and eventually it turns into just denial of the truth. No, you surely won't die. It just not just question it, but just finally, and it didn't start with that. Satan just didn't come up with this fruit and say, hey, eat it. He started with questioning the truth. They didn't know the truth fully, clearly, entirely true. And then it was a denial of the truth. And then he got them to question the truth giver. Like, God doesn't want you to do this. He knows if you eat of this, you'll become like him. And then finally, they just came out and took of it, right? It worked. Their lies bred into practice. So what lies have you been listening to this week? I kind of think about it this. Sometimes I'll think, man, God is against me. Like, right? Like something wrong happens in my week, and I'm like, man, God just doesn't want me to be happy. God doesn't want me, he doesn't want to provide for me. And I start feeding those, and they get bigger and bigger, and I believe that God isn't good. And I feed that, and then I think I can find goodness, happiness outside of him. He wants to keep me from it. I can find it outside of him. It starts with just a little questioning. Does God really care? And it feeds into those things. Maybe something that you've been believing is along those lines. Maybe it's something like, man, is it really that big a deal if I cheat on this test? Man, cheating's not that big a deal. Do I really need to do that? We let these little, and then they breed and feed and they grow. Have you been feeding your minds and dwelling on anything that's not true and not entirely true? There's a lot of wrong thinking that feeds into wrong behavior. Paul's very clear, Romans 12, 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It starts in the mind. He says that by the testing you may discern what the will of God, that it, which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, it comes down to, well, how do we know it's true, right? Isn't that what Pilate said? Jesus was talking about truth, and he said, what is truth? And that's what we see around us. Like, how can I really know it's true? Don't start with yourself. That's what we do a lot of times, right? A lot of times we start with, okay, I'm the standard of truth. And we know that 10 times out of 10, if we follow our heart's desire, we're going to end up in the wrong place. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick, who can understand it? Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. If we start with ourselves for the measure and standard of truth, here's the thing. I'm so good at deceiving myself and tricking myself into the thing that I want to be true ends up being the lie that I believe and then live out, right? Man, we're so good at tricking ourselves. And we can be convinced that it's true, right? And so the truth, we know what the truth is. Like, there is one standard of truth. It's been delivered to us in the holy word of God. And we know that all truth is God's truth. There's a lot of truth out in the world, but here is the standard of it. Here is where you know the truth. And every truth needs to be filtered through the truth of God's word. And so when a thought comes into your mind and you're just tempted to dwell on it, you think, does this align with God's word? Does it align with God's word? If it doesn't, I need to filter it out. And I need to fill my mind with truth. If it's not true, then don't dwell on it. I love these two verses. Psalm 119, 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Like, we know it's true. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. So start with truth. If it's coming into your mind and you just notice, and sometimes it's 30 minutes of dwelling before you know that you're dwelling. If you're dwelling, I'd say, well, okay, is this true? But he doesn't just leave it there. He says, is it honorable? That word means like worthy of respect. Three other places in the Bible, it's translated dignified. And I kind of think about it like this, okay? Is it honorable? imagine you're going to a fancy restaurant with your kids, okay? If you're at a fancy restaurant with your kids, like, you need to dress appropriately and act appropriately. Like, you need to be dignified, right? Respectable. If your kids are there and they're dressed in just like ratty clothes, holes everywhere, they're standing on the table, they're throwing food over to the other's tables, like, that's not dignified, right? That's not respectable. And I think that's really what this word honorable, like, this isn't worthy of respect. And so when a thought comes into my mind, I need to think, is this worthy of respect? Is it a dignified thought? Is it an honorable thought? And what we're going to see as we go down this list is, like, each of these is a little bit different, and they kind of center around the goodness and the holiness of God's character. And so God is dignified. He is honorable. So my thoughts need to reflect God's thoughts. And so something might be true, but I might not be honoring to him. And the same thing goes with just. Like, this word just, it comes from the same root as righteousness. Like, this is not a right thought. And God's really the standard of righteousness, right? And so something might be true. And I can just say, okay, well, pass the first filter, so I'm going to dwell on it. But it might not be honoring to God, and it might not be even righteous. And if I dwell on it, it's going to shape me into someone who is not honorable and not righteous. Think about it like this. Say my friend did something, like, really bad to me, or said something really bad to me, right? Okay? Like, he wronged me, okay? And I can just sit and stew on it, right? Have you ever done that? Like, you just focus, like, man, how have I been wronged? And it's true, like, they really did say something, it was horrible. Or they did something that was horrible. But you can just sit on it and say, like, well, it's true. I'm just going to sit on it and just dwell on how I've been wronged. What's going to happen if you just dwell on something that's not, it's true, but it's definitely not honorable. It's definitely not right. It's not righteous. Man, I'm going to start getting a lot more angry at them. In fact, I'm going to get, like, really, really frustrated at them. I'm going to turn into an angry, bitter person, and eventually I'm going to say something to them, right? It's going to work its way out into my actions. I'm going to do something or say something. If I dwell on something that's true, but it's not good, it's not righteous, it's not honorable. And I'm just asking you, like, is there anything you've been dwelling on? And yeah, it's true. It's true, but it's not good. It's not right. It's not honorable. Don't dwell on it. You know, we feed on so many sinful thoughts and attitudes and then wonder why we feel the way we do and wonder why we act the way we do. So I'm not saying, like, bottle up your thoughts and emotions. Like, it's not just, like, the power of positive thinking. Like, if that thought comes, like, man, he wronged me, then I need to do something with it, right? I need to either forgive him, or I need to go talk to him. I need to seek peace with him. There's a right response to it, but I know the wrong response is to, like, take out a four-course meal of dwelling on how wrong he has been to me. If I just dwell on that, it's going to be all of what he talks about in Ephesians 4:31, the wrath, the bitterness, the anger that's going to play out in my life. And so if you find yourself dwelling on something, say, well, what's the right thought that I need to replace it with? What is something righteous that I need to put into my mind? Or what's a righteous response to something that I've been dwelling on that I know I'm not doing the right thing? And I think for each of these, when we find something come in, it's not just the thought that matters. It's like, what am I going to do with it, right? Because today, there's probably going to be some wrong thoughts that come in, okay? And you know what? Like, man, this is not good. But the thing is, what are you going to do with it? Kind of think about it like, you know, our bodies are really good at attacking bad things that come into them, right? The white blood cells, when this bad thing comes in, they attack it. They don't just say, like, hey, why don't you come take a home here? In fact, here, why don't you spread here and here and here? No, like, those white blood cells, they attack it because they don't want it to be at home in the body. It's a foreign matter. Okay, so the key with each of these is, like, okay, now that you know it doesn't meet the filter, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? You're going to accept it? You're going to let it dwell there? You're going to make a home for it? Or you're going to say, no, I'm going to attack it. I'm going to get it out of my mind, or I'm going to replace it with something that does meet the filter. And so he keeps going down the list. He says the next thing is pure. And this word can mean pure or holy. It's something that's not stained with something evil. Like something that's completely pure, holy, unstained from sin. Okay? Suppose I was going to give you a glass of water. You know, we talked about drinking earlier. We want clean, filtered water, right? And like I was going to say, hey, here's a glass of water. By the way, I put a little bit of poison in it. Right? Like, you're probably not going to say, well, how much poison did you put in it? Because I like some poison in my drink, but not a lot of poison, right? No, you're like, no thanks. I don't drink poison. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter if it's like a little bit of poison, a lot of poison. I don't like poison because a little poison is going to do a little damage to my body. No poison. No thank you. And I think the same thing with purity. Like, so many times we accept a little bit of impurity into our minds. And we think, oh, it's not that a big deal, right? A little bit of poison, a little bit of impurity. But guess what? Like, this is the trajectory of what happens. When we get used to a little bit, we drink a little bit more, right? We let a little bit more impurity. And it always ends the same way. The more you let in, the more you get used to it, and the more you're going to let in. A little bit of impurity turns into a lot of impurity. And we know, like, it's going to kill you, right? And so that natural tendency, a little becomes a more, becomes a lot. And any of it is going to kill you. And so it's going to do damage. So why let any impurity in? And so he gives us that filter. If it's not pure, if it's not holy, I don't need to dwell on it. I need to get rid of it and replace it with something holy. This next one is lovely. That means like pleasing, causing delight. You know, like you see this beautiful painting and it's just like pleasing to the eye. It just like sets you in a good mood, right? And so this word is more like this beautiful thing. We know pictures and paintings that are beautiful. The same thing can be true of thoughts, right? You just know like if a thought is beautiful or not. Like the opposite, like an ugly thought, you know, it's not necessarily unrighteous. It's not necessarily, like there's something about it. I just know. Afterwards, I just feel disgusting, right? Like, have you ever, like, watched a movie and you can't pinpoint what it is, but you know after the end of the movie, it's just is ugly. You feel ugly, right? In the end, it wasn't lovely. It was disgusting. And so make sure those thoughts that come into your mind are beautiful. They're beautiful thoughts. They're not ugly thoughts. They're good, honoring to God. Our minds have a way of normalizing and desensitizing ourselves to what's ugly, right? Because you watch that movie after you haven't watched anything impure and you feel ugly and gross, right? But then you watch another movie that's kind of the same way. You feel a little gross afterwards, but it's not as bad. Then you watch another and by the end of it, you don't even hardly notice, right? And so Paul's clear, make sure it's pure, but make sure it's lovely. And so maybe a question is like, if you've been dwelling on this thought for like 30 minutes, afterwards, how do you feel? How do you feel afterwards? Like lovely things, when we gaze at lovely things, they're pleasing. And in a good, honoring to God way, they cause delight. And so you find yourself in a mood that's more in alignment with who God is and what God loves, or do you find yourself less in love with God and his people and his character? Is it ugly or is it lovely? The word commendable, that's the next test. Do I need to pass this filter? Yes. This is something that evokes praise. It's something that's like respectable, okay? Like, you know, like somebody who, like, they do something or say something and your, like, respect level goes up a notch or two? Like, my test for this one is like, if someone reached into my brain and read my thoughts, would their respect level go up or down? And if their respect level would probably go down, then probably isn't something respectable. It's probably not something commendable. It's not something that's praiseworthy. And so really think about, like, would I want anybody else to know this thought? And if they did, would they respect me more for it, or would they respect me less? And then the last two, it's interesting, he changes the words a little bit. Instead of saying the way he's been saying it, he says, if there is any excellent, or if there is anything worthy of praise. And for these last, they're kind of catch-alls. And I love the way these two last two kind of sum it all up is the word excellent there is like of the highest quality, right? Like, make sure your thoughts aren't just like okay thoughts or pretty good thoughts. Like, make sure they're excellent. Like, make sure they are like of the highest quality. Again, like feeding our minds is kind of like feeding our bodies, okay? Who here likes bananas? I love bananas, okay? Do I have any fellow banana lovers, okay? But here's my deal. I don't like bananas if they're like way too ripe or not ripe enough. Like, there's this window, okay? Like, there's no way I'm going to eat that brown banana. In fact, I don't even like that one in the middle. Like, that one on the left there is pretty good, but I actually like mine like a couple days before. There's like one version, like it's just a little green, no like browning at all. That's perfect in my mind, okay? I don't know about you. Maybe you like the brown one. That's good for banana bread maybe. But like, the idea is like, I'm only going to eat a banana if it's just right. I'm not going to eat like a gross banana. And we do that with our bodies, right? We feed on, like, there's a level of excellence we want. I want it just right. And that's kind of what that word is meaning. It's like, make sure that they're of the highest quality, like good, good quality thoughts. Because here's the deal, like, we're feeding on things, right? We're feeding on thoughts. Our minds are feeding on them. And do you want to feed on okay thoughts or like subpar thoughts? Like, we only have so much mind space. We only have so much time in our day. Why not fill them with the things that are best, of highest quality, things that are excellent? So when I'm thinking about something, is this the best thought I could be having? It's not the worst thought, but is it the best thought? I need to make sure my thoughts are excellent. And then that last word, worthy of praise, this word, like, it's an idea for worship, but it means like to lift something up, okay? Like, put it on a pedestal, right? And we do that in different sports and Olympics and stuff like that, right? We have the podium at the very end, and you raise things up to different levels based on how good they are, right? And so what he's saying there is like anything that is worthy of lifting up the highest level. It's very similar to that word of excellence. Like, is this the best quality thought? And I kind of think about this, like he had two words that were really closely related to worship. The idea of commendable, it's from the root for worship, to praise. And then that last one, worthy of praise, like to lift something up. And a lot of times we think of like worship, like we sing, right? And that's a big part of worship. Or how we live our lives, like our lives are worship, right? To do my best as unto the Lord is worshiping the Lord. I think a lot of times we forget the same thing is true of our minds. Like, the way I think of what I dwell on is really an act of worship to God, or missing out on an opportunity to worship God. And so all these eight things, like when you think about something, when you dwell on something this week, think like, man, I want to think on, only think about the best quality things, but I want to give God my best. In my words, in my actions, in my singing, but even more so in my mind. And have you been giving God your best with your mind? Before we move on to the second, living it out, I just want to focus on two things, homework this week for you. You know, I think our minds are like sponges, right? They're going to soak up everything they come in contact with. And so this word dwell on these things, or think about these things, like put close attention to, make them a really thoughtful experience, like really dwell on these things, okay? And so I think there's two aspects to it. The first thing is I can't fully control what comes into my mind, but I can affect some of what comes in as far as what am I feeding on, okay? What am I feeding on? And I think about it kind of like this. When our kids were younger, you know, they have these cute little shoes, right? And I just love putting kids in cute little shoes, okay? So my girls, we'd get these like white cute little shoes. They're a little beautiful. They have little bows on them and like pretty little shoes. And so we'd go on walks sometimes, right? And so here's the deal. Like, we would go and sometimes there'd be a puddle of water. And what would they do? They would look at it and then they would walk around it. And go around it, okay? That's not how I was as a kid. And so it's been kind of encouraging, like Lincoln's like me, okay? I would have these shoes. They weren't quite as pretty, but they didn't stay pretty, because when I saw a puddle of water, and Lincoln was like this, he's so different. He sees a puddle of water, he jumps, and boom, he just jumps in it, right? And then what happens? The shoes aren't white and pretty anymore, right? They're dirty and water and mud stained. You can affect a lot about, remember, our minds being sponges, by what are you around? Like, you can't, we're not here to like jump out of the world and never be around sin. And even if we could, we have sin in us and we're still going to think about bad things. But we can do a lot of the homework of what we dwell on by what we put in, okay? And are you more like the girls where you see something gross and ugly? Are you going to walk around and not get anywhere close to it? That's going to be a good thing. It's going to play out in your life. Or are you going to jump right in and dive right into it? Of course you're going to be dwelling on things. If you're watching a lot of movies that are filled with violence, you're probably going to be thinking in thoughts of violence. You're going to be dwelling on things of violence. If you watch a lot of movies that are filled with sexually inappropriate things, you're filling your mind with those things, you're probably going to have a bigger struggle dwelling on those things. So just, what have you been around? Like, what have you been soaking in? And there's going to be a battle for what you're going to dwell on, but are you so close and jumping in that it's impossible not to dwell on those things? Like, what in your control can you say, I'm not going to feed on those things anymore? You know, same thing like with social media. Like, one thing I found, and I'm not saying what you should do, but what I found, like, when I started just doom scrolling, right? You start scrolling. But I was saying, like, oh man, my friend, he has all these things. Man, I'm jealous of him. Or man, this happened to that person. And what I would end up with, like, you keep scrolling, or like, man, this makes me mad. This makes me angry. This makes me frustrated. All these different things. What I found is when I started doing that, I just ended up in a bad place, started dwelling on things that weren't good. And so I stopped. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this social media thing anymore. And maybe that's a thing that you struggled with. Maybe that's not at all. Maybe your social media feed isn't it. Maybe it's the things you've been bringing in your eyes, movies, TV, man, music through our ears. You start listening to a bunch of songs, and you start thinking those songs, and you don't even know it. Or about the podcasts you've been listening to, the books you've been reading. So that's one thing. Am I going to put myself around a bunch of impure things, I'm probably going to start dwelling on them, okay? So what can you change in what you're taking in? It's going to really affect what you dwell on. And then the second thing, right when that thing comes in, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to feed it, or are you going to starve it, okay? Because here's the thing, you can put yourself in just like the perfect environment, and a thought's going to come in your mind, and it's not good. You know, it runs through all those filters, and in that moment, what are you going to do with it? You going to feed it? You going to allow it to stay? Or you say, no, this has no place. I'm not going to dwell on this. And you got to get rid of it, and you got to fill it with something else. And it's going to come back, and you got to say, no, I'm not going to dwell on this. You know, kind of thinking about kind of like the way we water our yards, right? Idaho, what I've found is, like, if you water something here, it's going to be green, 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 right? It has plenty of sun, and we have this irrigation water. If you water it, it's going to be green. But if you don't, even for like a day or two, right? You know where a sprinkler head has gone out, because if you don't feed it, it dies, right? And so I think about that like our thoughts. Like, if you feed it, it's going to stay around. If you keep dwelling on it, it's going to stick around. It's going to green up, and it's going to become even bigger, and it's going to spread. But if you say, no, I'm not feeding it, I'm cutting off the water, right? If you say, I'm not going to feed it, it's going to die. And every time it comes back, say, no, I'm not going to do it. And so, like, we know that the process is very clear in Scripture. I give you three different passages on the back of the sermon notes that talk about how we dwell on and what we put into our minds. And I love in Colossians 3, he starts with, like, thinking the right thoughts. But then he moves to the wrong thoughts and the wrong behavior. And he says, guys, you got to kill them. Like, put them to death. And so I just want to ask you, what have you been allowing to keep around that you just need to put to death? You've been dwelling on it. It's been doing nothing good. You need to fill it with things that are good and pure. And so make sure that we dwell on the right things. And then I love how he starts, don't just think the right things, do the right things, right? And so right in the next verse, after telling us to dwell on these things, he says, what you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, one amazing promise that God of peace will be with me. But if I'm not willing to do these things, this is a contingency, right? Just like verse 7, we want God's peace to guard us. If we want God of peace to be with me, we need to make sure that we're thinking the right things and doing the right things. Okay, so what he's not saying is that God won't be with you. This is a promise and it's a contingency. It's tied to this previous thing. We know God is everywhere. You can't escape God, right? God is going to be with you. But I kind of think about it when the Israelites went into the promised land in the book of Joshua, right? God started with like, hey, be strong and courageous, for I'm with you, right? Like God promised to be with them, and he was greater than any foe they're going to face, and they saw that play out. But when they stopped obeying them, he was still with them, but they didn't experience his power and might because they didn't obey him. We saw that in the book of, or not the book, the passage of Ai, right? When they went to Ai and they didn't follow the Lord, they were defeated. He was still with them. He was right there, but they didn't experience the power of his presence. And so the same thing is true with the God of peace being with me. He can be with me, but I am not going to experience his peace if I'm not willing to obey him, if I'm not dwelling on the right things. And so are you not only dwelling on the right things, but are you putting them into practice? All right, just like that, the blueprints at the beginning. You have great blueprints, but are you putting them into practice? Like, are you living out the good things that you know? I love the process for how we get these good things into our minds and hearts and lives. There's this process of seeing it in somebody else. We've already seen Paul talk about this earlier in the book in Philippians 3:17. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Like, good process for transfer of truth is good teachers who are good examples, okay? And I love this process. He gives us four things. He says, the things that you've learned. This is like an academic word, okay? It's like the classroom setting. Like the Philippian church had learned the right things. They'd sat under good teaching. They learned the truth, okay? But not only had they learned it, but they'd received it, right? He says, the things you've received. And that word is more like a taking on and passing on something to somebody else. It's like more like instead of a classroom, think of an apprenticeship, right? And so, like, they had seen these things in their teachers. Their teachers hadn't just taught them like a classroom. They'd taught them practically, hey, come alongside. This is what it means and looks like to live out these truths. So they'd received them from them. They've taken them along. They've both been heard. It said that they speak it and they've seen it. Man, it means so much when we see it, right? And so I just want to, before we move on to, like, putting it into practice, I just want you to think, like, do I have somebody to follow? Like, do I have somebody? And I think we all need, like, that Paul, right, who we can follow, we can imitate as they follow Christ. Do you have somebody to follow that you can learn from them, you can receive it from them, you can hear it, and you can see it? I think all these flow out of relationships. And I just want to challenge you. Yes, we do this on Sunday mornings. You might do it in a Bible study. But I just challenge you, find somebody who, like, you can do life with together. Like, you can go out to coffee and say, hey, what is Scripture doing? How can I really live this out practically today? Find someone who you can learn, receive, hear, and see the Word of God from. So Paul says, like, you've all already received all these good things. You got to practice them, right? Like, we know that. We know, like, it doesn't do us any good to know all the truth, but to live out 0% of it, right? Jesus made it really clear, the good builder and the foolish builder, right? Both of them heard the truth, But Jesus says, anyone or everyone who hears these words of mine, right? They hear the words and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell and great was the fall of it. And here's the thing I want to focus on, and we'll just, this will be more brief, but the word practice, okay? He says to practice these things. And it's like this ongoing activity, okay? It's not just like doing it once. Like practice the things you know. What have you been practicing this week? Or maybe more importantly, what have you not been practicing? Because you might know like the Word of God really, really well, but you're practicing and like actually doing it over and over, very little of it. One thing I've had the privilege of doing a lot is teaching lessons, teaching like music lessons, guitar and piano. I love to teach others. I love music and I love to see that come alive in others. And there's one thing that you can't get away from it is practice, right? Like right when I started, hey, if you're going to get good at guitar or you're going to become a good pianist, you got to practice, right? And it's not just knowing music theory, knowing where all the notes on the piano are, or even knowing a lot of big terms of music. It's doing it. And there's no like other way to do it. You just got to do it. And you don't just practice it once. You practice over and over and over. Like those musicians that they don't even watch what they're playing. It's like second nature to them. They don't do it without thinking. It didn't start that way. It started with practicing the right way over and over and over. And here's like with teaching lessons, something that I found in my life, it was when I tried to learn a piece, and then I saw a lot in my students, here's what I started out trying to do. Here's like a passage of a music. I try to do it as fast as I can and as many times as I can, because if I just do it over and over and over really fast, surely it'll be good, right? That didn't work, okay? And here's something I found is, if I do it as fast as I can, I might mess up here or there. And if I mess up, what I'm actually practicing is I'm practicing the wrong thing. And so practicing the right passage the wrong way over and over didn't make me a better player. It actually did the opposite. What I found the best way to do it is do it as slow as you need to do the right way. Like if you can't do it, do it slower. If you can't get it right, do it even slower. Because what you're doing is in your mind, you're digging grooves. And the more times you do it the right way, it's going to eventually become second nature to where you don't even need to think about it. And I noticed this in my life. I would practice, you know, Monday through Wednesday super slow. It was like painfully slow. And then Wednesday, something clicked. I could play it. And I couldn't just play it. I didn't even have to look at the music. It was in my mind. And I didn't even play it that slow speed. I could play it three times as fast. And it didn't like gradually, it just clicked. What you do is you practice the same thing over and over, as long as it takes and as slow as it takes to do it right. And so I think every single day we have an opportunity. We know the truth. Am I going to practice it? If I practice the wrong things over and over, even though I know the right thing, I'm just practicing doing the wrong thing. And knowing the truth doesn't help me at all if I'm practicing the wrong thing. But what I got to do is I need to slow it down. I need to do the right thing. Okay, I know this truth. How can I live it out today? And I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to do it again. And so my two questions here are, what are the bad things you've been practicing? You need to stop. Like, you just need to stop. And second are, what are the things that you know that you just haven't been practicing? Like, these are good truths. They fill all the filters that we've been talking about, but you just know you're missing those in your life. What would it be like to practice? Like, practice, okay? Maybe you struggle with being gracious. Well, you're not going to get better at being gracious if you don't dwell on grace, and then you don't just practice it. So what would it look like this week to be practicing at being gracious or being kind? Like, go out and practice it. Like, do the things you know and do them over and over. And guess what? You might be like, man, being kind is just something that's so hard. I have to think about it. It's like I need training wheels. you keep doing it over and over, and eventually you're going to be like doing it without even thinking. The things you practice are going to make you into who you are going to be. You know, there's a saying, practice makes perfect. I don't think it makes perfect, but it does make us, right? If we practice something, it changes us. And the things that you're practicing are going to affect who you become. So what are you going to practice? What do you need to stop practicing? I'm a recovering procrastinator. I don't know about you. And here's the deal. Like, you can probably, you thought of like, man, I know I need to practice this. I'm going to practice it tomorrow. Right? No. Like, I'm serious. Procrastination doesn't ever do anything. And that's what Satan loves to do. Is, okay, we'll do it tomorrow. Like, how can you practice it today? There's a saying, you know, procrastinators unite tomorrow. Like, you can know, like, I need to change this. I need to stop practicing this, and I need to start practicing this. Do it today. And there's so many reasons we procrastinate. Man, if I do this, what am I going to miss out on? What am I going to lose? It's going to make a big change, and I don't know if I'm ready for it. In fact, I don't want it. Trust that God's way is better. It's always better, and just do it. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow will never come. Like, today when you leave, say, today I'm going to start practicing. And trust me, once you start practicing over and over, it's going to shape you into the person that God wants you to be. So today, as we think about like getting derailed, like that train that went off the tracks, which one is it for you? Maybe it's both. Is it your thinking, or is it your practice? Maybe you've been thinking a lot of good thoughts, but you just haven't been willing to put them into practice. What would it look like to you today to dwell on good things and to practice good things? Let's not just be those who know the truth, but who live out the truth. Let's pray. God, you are the God of peace, and we want your peace in our lives. We know that you've called us to dwell on excellent, praiseworthy things. And so, God, I just pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. This week, when those thoughts come in that aren't praiseworthy, they aren't true, they aren't lovely, we know we shouldn't think about them. Would your Holy Spirit help us identify them and just put off the warning sign that we need? And would your Holy Spirit give us the power to remove them and to replace them with good, honorable thoughts? And God, the areas that we're just weak on in practice, help us this week as we practice, give us more and more success. As we trust in you, as we cling to you, help us to do the right thing more and more, to where we're not even thinking about it. We're just doing it. We know we can't do this on our own. Would your Holy Spirit give us the strength we need? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.